Welcome back, Life in a Wine Bottle fans. This is part two. Our topic was Ramona wine region, and we'll discuss the climate, soil, and the different vines that are grown here in this area. Enjoy the episode.
You're in Ramona? Mm-hmm. They're going to say, where is that at? Oh, yeah. And then you say, well, it's in San Diego. And then they usually say Temecula.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yep.
And I said, well, we're not. And or they'll say, you live so far. You live in. No. We are actually, like I said, 35 miles away from downtown San Diego. Mm-hmm. It probably takes from downtown, I'll say, almost an hour, 45 minutes, depending on traffic. But in like the Del Mar area, you're getting here in 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. You're actually more on the east end.
Yep.
Okay. We are considered to be a desert. Okay, so you're going to get a different soil here in this area. And it gets hot here. It gets pretty warm. But I always like to tell people just the uniqueness of it, right? Mm-hmm. Behind Ramona, it's not so much that just the grounds or the vines getting planted here. But we get temperatures up to 100 plus. And then that evening, it goes down to 50s. You know, how high are we here?
So right here, we're at 2,200 feet.
Okay, so Vineyard Grand James is at 2,200 feet elevation. Castelli Family Vineyards is at 1,600. Mm-hmm. Do you get snow here?
We'll get flurries.
Okay, but nothing sticking?
Nothing that sticks.
But pretty
maybe
fun.
Every few years.
But yeah, pretty fun that you can see that. Yeah, and this is San Diego, everybody. Just want to let you know.
Yeah.
Okay, we get, and then you get down to when it gets to wintertime, you get down to 30s. Mm-hmm. You know, so it gets cold here too. So you get a bit influx. I was reading, and if anybody knows about the microclimates, they say there's 13.
Yeah.
You know, if it's 13 or 14, roughly around there. And I'm about from their vineyard to our vineyard, we're about, I think it said 19 miles. Okay. We're completely different. Mm-hmm. The microclimate is completely different here. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I like people to understand that because I think that's one of a great story to share.
Yeah.
You know, this Sangiovese back here, I have Sangiovese over there in our property, and it'll taste different.
Yep.
You know, but it's literally less than 30 miles away, mm-hmm. you know, within a nice little environment here, but the microclimates are completely different.
Yeah. And so Ramona is large. So, and for example, like we're in a valley, right? So we get a constant breeze through here, which the grapes like.
Two breezes. just to let them know, because we get the ocean breeze, which really it isn't too far, but we get it all the time, like right now, and then we get what's called the Santa Ana breeze, mm-hmm. which is hot.
Yep,
it's super hot, and it's blowing from the desert, the east to the west. So we get two different. So it's a little bit different than typical. Mm-hmm. Regions, right?
Yep.
So sorry for cutting you off, but go ahead.
Oh no!
Just
so,
to add in there,
most successful wine regions is you want to be near a large body of water that temperates the climate, mm-hmm. and by large body an ocean, but it helps if you're a certain distance. So there's kind of a zone, a coveted 13 to 19 miles from the ocean,
sweet spot.
Yep,
basically the sweet spot.
Yep. And then so you want to be more of a temperate climate, kind of a Mediterranean, although they're now growing grapes everywhere, and they grow great grapes where it snows, different varietals. And also that temperature swing that you talked about. So that diurnal shift. So we have about a 40 degree diurnal shift. So between the day and nighttime temperatures. And that's good because during the day, the grapes need to be hot, lots of sugar. But just like a person at night, it's like, oh, I need to cool off and go
need
to sleep.
Need to rest, yes.
I need to rest.
Build the energy.
Yep, and the evaporation
from the
water
food.
And relax and rest and kind of recuperate from that heat of the day. Mm-hmm. So that also helps. And then for us, that breeze helps mitigate the powdery mildew. Lots and lots of sunshine.
Mm-hmm. So that's I always like to share that because whenever you get bottles of wine, these are the stories that people come back with. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They always like to know why. Why is it so different?
Yeah.
It's just wine, right? It's just grapes over here.
Yeah.
What about, do you know, this is going to be a little trick question. Mm-hmm. Do you know is there a certain amount of varietals grown here than others? Like, is there, let's just say, more Sangiovese than
there's
anything else? What do you say?
A lot of Sangiovese being grown, but a lot of people planted grapes that they felt that they could sell, right? That they were comfortable with or that they knew, like Cabernet or Chardonnay or Merlot. But there's also a ton of experimentation going on out here. So like myself, I'm growing Teraldigo, Negromaro.
Oh, nice.
People are doing Nero d'Avolo.
And I guarantee you, these are names that a lot of wine lovers don't even know about.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yep. Drought tolerant, heat resistant, southern Italy. We've got a lot of similarities in climate. Now with climate change, even our grape growing has changed in the last 11 years. Mm-hmm. We're giving them, so it's getting hotter. It's getting hotter quicker, and it's staying hotter longer. So we're actually doing more shade cover. So we're doing less hedging. When I first started, there was a lot of hedging. Now it's like, no, don't hedge. Give them some shade, maybe more water before a heat spike. Mm-hmm.
And when she refers to hedging, it's more of, again, the with hair reference, because mm-hmm. I feel like almost everybody knows a little bit about a hair. I'm not going to say everybody has hair, but everybody knows a little bit. So instead of having spiky hair, you kind of have hair that you can kind of comb over to the side.
Yeah.
So that's basically what's going on.
Or instead of like a hedge where it's topped off at the top, it's like you've let the hedge like kind of flop
over
and give us a little bit of shade.
Yes, to give it a little shade because of the heat.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So, yeah, I always like to say that. So here, what type of varietals do you have here
besides the ones that you just listed? The Sangiovese, and then in terms of white, I'm growing Albarino and Viognier and Marsan. And then I also purchase grapes from local growers so that, because I like blending wine and in addition to doing single varietals.
Oh, nice. So it's quite a few. And how many vines do you have here?
So we've got 3,500 vines.
Okay.
And so I'll do about 17 to 20 tons every year.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's nice.
A lot, especially since I'm not making it in the barn.
Yeah, it's and we're still considered boutique.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so we're very.
Yep, under 5,000 cases.
Yes, under 5,000. And I was just talking to I have another podcast which is coming out with the wine blogger, top wine blogger actually, and she was telling me that one of her favorite regions is Italy, and she's just worried about what's going on because of all the COVID, and that's their livelihood right there.
Yes.
And that's it. They don't do anything else. There's no other side hustle or side jobs.
Mm-hmm.
From family to family, they're passing down these little vineyards that are doing less than 5,000 cases, and they don't know what to do. They're struggling like everybody else. So so remember, the big wineries, they're doing, 500,000 cases? Is that what a big winery is considered? Something like that. And then medium size is like 250 cases. So we're very, we're a little speckled.
Yes.
But
yes.
With so many wineries here,
like a nano winery.
Yeah, there's so many wineries here. We're becoming a little bit bigger than what we're thinking.
Yeah,
you've been doing this for 11 years. Mm-hmm. What do you think the next 10 years are going to come from Ramona?
I think it's going to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. So we
in vineyards, wineries, or sales?
I think all of them.
All three.
We have this map that we periodically update, and I'm amazed at the new wineries that open up, or I'll look at the membership.
But wait, why are you amazed because you're saying they're crazy to put a vineyard,
or you're amazed you're just because like, oh, you're happy? There's another one this month. Oh, okay. There's another new winery. So it's interesting how many new wineries are open. So, right, I think in that continue to plant more grapes. Mm-hmm. And I think, then the sales will increase. People will know about it, and
Hopefully we can feed, like you said, I don't know if I want to say fire, but we're feeding the restaurant side,
mm-hmm.
right? So
mm-hmm.
hopefully we can produce as much as we can for the price point that it's fair for everybody.
Yeah.
And from there, you get that constant back and forth from customers coming up and doing a day visit mm-hmm. and just enjoying themselves up here and then coming back down the hill.
Yeah. Or, it too is... Also, is Ramona's evolving. So if to have a wine region, you need food.
Yeah.
So, right? You've got a food scene, restaurants. Yeah. you need the hotels, right? They want to make a weekend out of it, so you get to the hotel. And then an additional entertainment factor. They want to know that there's other things in town to do.
Correct.
So all of those components need to grow.
Yeah, it's just not one, right? Mm-hmm. It's not one winery getting big.
Yeah.
Everybody has to go together and grow together as a team.
Yep.
You know?
All right. Okay, so we move scenes again. Hopefully you can see the background there with the mountains. You can see a little bit of the vineyard. And just this is just a cool setting. It's really a nice place to hang out. Stress-free,
yeah.
I would say. I've been in some wineries that I feel like it's more of how many people come through.
Mm-hmm.
And one reason why is because they're very busy. And they just, you know, that's just their model, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't want to do it that way, but they're there just pouring wine as quick as they can, and then getting a new set of faces coming through. For us, we don't have that luxury
mm-hmm.
yet, but for myself, I hope that we stay in that realm of giving back to the guest and really talking with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always try to be at the winery. My in-laws are always trying to be at the winery. My wife is always at the winery. My kids are running around. So we want to give that family feel,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I know you guys do it because I always get – I know Barb. Yeah, she's really great. I see her at other events. So she's – I can see she really cares for the guests. And I think that's a big thing in any business.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
You really have to care for what you're doing. And care for, you know, your guests. I mean, at the end of the day, they're the ones that are going to be buying the bottles.
Yep.
You know?
And that have the experience and remember the experience. And
mm-hmm. So it's real. I think that's a special part. That you're coming into, in Ramona, you're coming into somebody's house.
Mm-hmm.
Really? And I didn't really touch too much into that. But mostly everybody, a lot of them are ex-engineers, semi-retired. And they say, hey, I have land. I live in Ramona.
Mm-hmm.
Let me plant a vineyard. And then from there, they literally are making wine in their garage
mm-hmm.
until they can kind of open another little facility, And yourself, you have
building.
Your place here.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have
an aluminum building.
Aluminum building. How big is your aluminum building over there?
2,000 square feet.
Okay.
So,
is that all the winemaking process in there?
Yeah, it is, man.
Okay.
All
with
jammed
barrels,
in there.
bottles. And you think you have a lot of space,
yeah,
right?
Every time you think you're
like, oh, this is a great space. Then you start putting some barrels.
Yeah.
You put a little bit of barrels. And then all of a sudden, it happens again next year.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you add a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I got to take everything out just to get to where I want to get to, right?
Yeah, we spend a lot of time forklifting stuff in and out.
Reorganizing.
Yeah.
And that never changed. And we're just talking, when we switched, we're just talking about the cleaning in Ramona.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of dirt here, even though it's green. But it's just dirty.
It's just
outdoor.
You're
you know?
On a farm,
yep.
right? And you're in an agricultural community, so there's just a lot of dust. And so
we're just
joking about how we're always dusting stuff.
Yeah, she was looking around. She's like, well, I got to dust a lot.
I know.
and I was just telling her that winemaking, I think it's you'll probably winemake for 10% of the time and clean for
90%. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Because
yeah,
you're always cleaning the macro bins. You're always cleaning the stemmer. You're always cleaning
the
barrels,
tanks,
the tank, the stainless steel. Just a four.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop there. I wanted to ask about, do you happen to know the pricing with bottles? So I wanted to go into, so when guests come out here, they don't get price shocked or they kind of have a sense of what they're going for. Okay. Do you know, is there a range that you've been seeing in Ramona?
I would say the range that I see is maybe $25 to $42 is the range that I see.
Yeah. That's a pretty good, I mean, for being homemade, hand-picked wine from very small vineyards, I don't think you can ask for anything better than that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really...
Yeah. The cost of producing that bottle.
Yeah, and also the quantity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're probably getting maybe a barrel to three barrels,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a barrel holds 300 bottles. So, yes, it seems like a lot. But if I gave you a barrel, you can drink a bottle one per day, you know. So if you think about it, so it goes pretty quick. So it's very small. It's, you know, so if you really think, and then usually you're not drinking by yourself.
Yeah.
You have somebody with you. You have you bring it out to a friend's house or social settings.
Uh-huh.
And there's multiple people. So that's five glasses, you know, five people, and that's it. You get your bottle. So it goes by pretty quick, you know. What about tastings? Have you seen anything, any tastings going on with the pricing there? Is it $20 a tasting or $10? Is there any range there?
They're usually $10. I know we waive the tasting fee if you purchase a bottle.
Okay.
I think some wineries have split it up if you get more tasting, or maybe they've got library wines that you can taste, and I think maybe then it's $15. So that's usually the price that I see.
Yeah. And Ramona, do you know how many awards have been won with some of the winemakers?
You know, I don't know.
Like, is there a number?
I bet there is, but I don't know off the top of my head what the tally is thing since 2013. I'm sure there's a tally somewhere. And I don't know if people entered as many contests this year. I didn't.
This is a little weird.
I didn't.
And everything's postponed.
And the big part of why you would enter a contest is you award, so you marketing it. A lot of marketing departments aren't going, or people are like, well, I don't know. Am I going to even be open to sell it? So I'm not sure about the contest this year. But in the past, Ramona's done really well in the winemaking contest.
Yeah, I'm bringing that up because I would say, and these aren't just local wine competitions.
No, this is our national. Like Finger, yes,
San Francisco Chronicles. Mm-hmm. Finger Lakes competition, I think it's like
Orange
the third.
Orange County Sunset Magazine. Yeah. And,
so I'm bringing that to so people understand that it is small. We're not as known yet, but they're winning big awards. Different winemakers and different within Ramona.
Yeah.
And their grapes.
Yep.
It's not just getting grapes, and they're not importing grapes from Napa and, you know, just using. No, they're actually, most of them are winning awards within San Diego County,
mm-hmm.
from the growers from here. So obviously I'm promoting, showcasing this mm-hmm. area because I think this is just another hot spot that guests can come to.
Yes.
You know, and what's better to come to a sunny area, San Diego, with beautiful beaches, great downtown area, gas lamp. You can bring your family, and most wineries, you know, they're dog friendly, most wineries.
And they allow you to bring your own food.
You can make a little picnic. Mm-hmm. So I really want to cater that part that you're missing out if you haven't tried it yet,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yep.
And then from there, after you try it, then you can decide whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But hope that, you know, the guests and listeners can hear how special Ramona is mm-hmm. within this area. And it's not only that we have cool places to be in because it's from people's homes, but also the wine is good.
Yeah.
Because a judge basically certified it being good.
Yeah.
You know? Right.
And the judge, but there's a lot of Psalms in San Diego mm-hmm. and
it's a big food scene here.
It's a big food scene.
I mean, this is a huge food scene.
They like, there's a big convention where all Psalms come from all over the U.S., all over the world. And they're tasting San Diego wines and talking about them. And
So the word is getting out there, spreading mm-hmm. out. So you better get here fast before we run out of wine, everybody. So what about, let's see. For customers,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I guess a selling point. You're overseeing the RVVA right now as a president. How would you recommend, like, a new time customer? So when listeners are hearing us, what would you have them say? Would they go to the RVVA website?
Mm-hmm.
Would you have them go to Instagram? How would you have them pick wineries? What would you recommend? Is there any procedures that you've seen there?
So on the RVVA website, you can actually sort it out by wine. Like, I like white wine, or I like Italian varietals. You can kind of pick a point on the map. You go to some wineries, you ask them, hey, who around here do you like? And the winemaker or the tasting room manager will give you a recommendation. Or you're like, I kind of like these wines. And if you don't, you're like, I'm looking for a certain kind of experience or a certain view, or I want food. Well, you know, you got some other criteria when you're out wine tasting.
Yeah. And then the website is mm-hmm. rvva.org. And make sure you follow them because they post some great stuff, yeah. And you can see
all the latest articles and awards
and awards and specials.
Yep.
You know, there's specials and just outdoor, just kind of view it so you can have a sense of where they're at and what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So make sure so first time guests, if you're planning a trip to San Diego, check out the website. It's easy. And like you said, you can go by varietal. A lot of people just like Pinot.
Yep.
Right? A lot of people just like Sangiovese, or they like a Petit Sirah, or they like a Petit Sirah that won awards. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have those options to play around with. So hopefully we're catering to the audience that's a little bit easier. Not so much work. I know it's a fun process to pick out wineries, but it's a little bit easier, and then you can kind of choose from there from where you get to.
Yep.
So I love the response there. So do you have a wine collection?
We drink it.
So no wine collection. Yeah.
So you know, like everybody that we interface with, right? We start talking about wine, or foods, like we're always cooking something, and you're like, oh, well, I guess this great bottle I've got. Mm-hmm. So then we bring out our great bottle, so we're always drinking it. But what's kind of fun for us, so my son is at Gallo now, and Gallo, they got a list that staff can choose. I think they get a staff price. And so it's kind of fun. So Grant has this list, and so we pick stuff, and so that's kind of like where I've been getting all my wine.
Oh, nice. And tasting and seeing what they're doing.
And you know what? Gallo has a lot of top shelf items. And so it's
They're big. And actually, I'm going to have an interview with a Gallo representative that's in the San Diego area.
Oh, cool.
That he sells through the Walmarts. And I think he just told me he got Sprouts. A great guy. So we're going to pick his brain. So that's going to be probably next month that you're going to be.
Oh, that'll be fun.
So, you know, you can hear that one for, you know, the preview, I guess I'll say for that part.
Yeah, yeah.
So no collection. So what about.
Or we drank it all.
Yeah, the collection was already drank. So you can't, it's already gone. So it's that good. What about anybody to the wine scene? What would you recommend them tasting first? Was there anything? And let's just say from your vineyard. What would you recommend?
That they taste here. We've got in terms of white wine, a Sauve Blanc and a Viognier that have been really popular, well received. I've got some single varietals that I think are really indicative of Ramona, a Tempranillo, an estate Tempranillo that we have. I made a rosé out of Negromaro.
Oh,
that
nice.
Was really good. And
oh, nice. So you got a couple of good options for newcomer wine tasters. You have the whites and you have the reds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're able to do a little bit of both. So don't worry about if you only taste whites.
Yeah.
Because it's a little challenging here to grow whites.
Yeah.
But we're getting better at it.
And we're also, whites take different chemistry and they take more equipment.
Yes.
Which the wineries are starting to do and invest in and purchase. And...
It's a timeline. It's a section of our life that we're trying to grow to develop.
Yeah.
But we're going first with what we know, the reds, and then we're starting to
I'll
branch out. So I have a little game here, and I tell everybody. So my little game, I didn't tell you about this. So we do a little questionnaire.
Okay.
But my little game is called the spit wine game.
Oh, okay.
You have 5 seconds to answer one question.
Okay.
Okay. And it is related to wine.
Okay.
It's only 5 questions.
Okay.
Real simple, just fun. Just so guests know what you like, and our listeners and viewers know what you like, and about the winery, you know, in general, what's a good bottle from the winery. So you got 5 seconds.
Okay.
And I'm just real quick. Okay. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
here's a spit wine game. All right. Okay. Red or white?
Red.
All right. Is there a favorite varietal?
I really like the Negromaro.
Negromaro. Favorite bottle you made?
Viognier.
Which wine region would you go besides Ramona? Because that's obvious.
My husband and I really like France.
France?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bordeaux. But the one we go to a lot, we really like, is Valle de Guadalupe.
Nice. Yeah. Down to Mexico. It's about an hour. Mm-hmm. From here, it's about 2 hours. But off the border is probably 50 minutes.
Yeah.
And they're getting big into
and
the Guadalupe Valley
scene.
There. Yeah, some good food down there. The last question is, last bottle you opened?
Oh, from my personal wine distributor from Gallo.
Oh, okay.
So what was it? I had gone on Iconic Winemakers, okay. And it's Amarone. Uh-huh. Amarone. So I never buy it because it's like always like the ones I see are like $75 or $100. Yeah. I wasn't sure.
It's not a quick.
No, and I knew it was from dried raisins, so I thought it was more like a sauterne, uh-huh. more syrupy or raisiny. Yeah. Oh,
like a port maybe.
No, not at all. It's like, well, maybe you would drink it after dinner, but like a soft Pinot, if then it had a raisin flavor infused.
Oh, really?
I was like, oh, this is good. Like I took little pictures and sent it. So, yeah. And then I did the William Hill. So anyway, all of, again, the cool things that Gallo's making. I got my little Gallo. I got this little Gallo coming in through my house now.
Nice. That's great. Yeah. And so that's the end of the game, but I always like to add, so the last part of like wine tasting is that you have to, at least for us, we always like to taste from outside this region.
Yeah.
You know, because you get stuck of, you're going to get biased. Mm-hmm. You know, say, so oh, this is the best bottle of wine.
Yeah.
You know, and it could be a good bottle of wine.
Yes.
But you need to match it up with other bottles.
Yes.
You know, and not so much as saying, oh, this and, you know, this has the same color and this has. No, it's more of. They made a Petit Sirah. Let's see what other regions are making, how it's tasting, you know, is it drier, is it a little bit sweeter, you know, whatever they're trying to do to create the wines. So it's always good to test different wines everywhere else. So, well, that's about it with the podcast, YouTube channel. We're at here, Vineyard Grand James. Make sure you follow them on Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff. Subscribe to their newsletter. Do you have any specials going out within the next 2 months or so?
Yeah, we've got a half case and a case special.
So okay, half case and a case special. So when you get here or just online, you can order. Make sure you check that out. So this is Life in a Wine Bottle. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Subscribe, podcasting, all that good stuff, and Spotify and iTunes at Life in a Wine Bottle. And that's the end of the topic, wine region in Ramona, the RVV. Thank you very much.
Thank you.